The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berger, and we're back here another week on the WWE Unofficial Podcast. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast, on Bodyslam.net, and on the Shining Wizards Network. Trendsetter, I'm liking this Roman Reigns, I tell ya. So let's talk about it, but man, trendsetter, if I sound a little bit emotional, it's because before you decided to, you know, go live with this thing and record the show, you had to go and YouTube Mr. Rogers. And we were watching this before, so if I sound like a little choked up, it's because
you just tapped on
my heartstrings. And the world needs more of a Mr. Rogers. It definitely does today.
Especially in the world of professional wrestling. There's no doubt, no question about that, Jeff. But no, yeah. It's sentimental.
The ultimate baby face.
I guess it would have to be more, Jeff, for me, that the sentimental factor comes in because I don't know why I dive into Mr. Rogers. I guess I was humming the ending of their outro.
Oh,
for their
we
show.
Were singing it. We were singing it. Let's not lie. We were.
I was trying to sing it. Jeff really hit that acapella, hit that high C note really well. But I don't know, just feeling right now, because in the day and age that we're living in, especially now with what we're dealing with the pandemic and COVID-19, it's more like you like to go
and
back
just the
to
social
nicer times.
Injustice,
yeah,
stuff
the social
too.
Injustice, all that stuff.
You
added
can't
in
get
too.
Along.
You just like go to a simpler time where it was really simple. I'd come home from school, I'd put my books down, and I'd watch some TV. Or if you were sick and wanted a little pick me up, you'd lay down in bed and watch PBS, Public Broadcasting Station, and watch Mr. Rogers. It would cheer you up a little bit. So we all need some fun and happiness in our lives. It's nice to reminisce. But to go back to what you're talking about, Roman Reigns, Jeff, I have to say, and it's very rare, but it seems to be now an occurrence now, and I hate that this pattern is happening, I really must say, that I am agreeing with you, because I am 100% happy and elated with this type of Roman Reigns. And no, it's not because, Jeff, he's a heel, he's a bad guy. No, no, no. It's because finally I feel, and what I've been saying since the very beginning when people were like, well, why do you want to turn him heel? It's going to be now the cool thing to boo him now. That's going to be what's going to happen. Well, no, here's the thing. Now I feel that Roman, we don't know how he feels about the situation, but you think he's fine because he wrote off on doing it. But now Roman
he
has
wanted
more
to do this.
Yeah.
He wanted to
he
be.
He has
healed.
More freedom. And he has more liberty now to say what's on his mind and really truly be himself. And only then, I mean, everybody has complimented how good he's in the ring. And I will admit he is very good in the ring. But now we have the ability of that character developing, of Roman really showcasing who he is, not only as an in-ring performer, but as a performer on the microphone.
And Paul Heyman is the icing on the cake, because Roman Reigns really doesn't have to be that much being too wordsy. He just has to hit those points, and Paul Heyman will just knock it out of the ballpark for him. So basically, Roman Reigns just has to hit a double every time, and then Paul Heyman will just, you know, bat him in all the time, using a baseball reference there. But We find out he's spoken. He talked about keeping his promise. He's talking about wrecking things. He's talking about how it was his Universal Championship. Paul Heyman was there again. Basically, just add a little bit saying that it wasn't Paul Heyman that seeked out Roman Reigns. It was Roman Reigns that brought him back out of obscurity, basically. And, I mean, it was just so well done. I mean, again, these are the times where you wish there was an audience there, because you want to be rewarded for the hard work that you're doing in building this character now. You want to see those fans boo. You want to see it. I mean, yes, the virtual fans are fine, but, you know, they could be looking at something else, not really paying attention to this. You want to hear those boos. That is the payoff for Roman Reigns. And he said that again, that he is now aligned with Paul Heyman. He is a special counsel, and he said again, he kept his word. He doesn't care who the next opponent is, but we are seeing the evolution of Roman Reigns as this heel. And man, just going off by this promo, trendsetter, I want to see more. I want to see more, and man, I will be tuned in to SmackDown next week for it.
Well, it goes back to the old adage, right? Less is more here. You mentioned it in terms of Roman doesn't have to go out and see this big speech, this huge promo, hit these bullet points. That's why he has Paul Heyman as his assistants there. All he has to do is say what's really on his mind, and he did, and he knocked it out of the park, I feel. Not just him, but I think ever since coming back right now, and we were talking about it, you know, Roman Reigns was gone for a lengthy period of time because, again, he was worried and concerned about COVID-19, not only from his own physical condition of what he had to deal with in terms of overcoming leukemia, but also dealing with the fact that he had a newborn already in the family, didn't want him to run the risk of infecting them as well. Completely understandable. You know, it came to the point, Jeff, when he admitted he had leukemia and went away for a while and came back. I was thinking, you can never boo this man. How could you ever? Leave it to Roman Reigns finding that way. And not in any other way. He wasn't insulting the fan base. He wasn't insulting the WWE Universe. He was just saying, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to get mine. Enough pleasing people. He didn't come out and say that, but that's the kind of vibe you got. Enough pleasing everybody. Words, Jeff, that you and I can live by, right? Enough pleasing everyone. I'm going to get mine. If you don't like it, that's tough.
The fact that he says that it was not him that corrupted Roman Reigns, it was the other way around. And you talk about, you mentioned it last week, and amazing how this intertwines. Last week you called Paul Heyman the devil himself. Mm-hmm. And for Roman Reigns to be the one coaxing Paul Heyman to come and join him, that's another amazing point there that you saw. And of course, they were going to announce that you're going to get Sheamus, King Corbin, Big E, and Matt Riddle. They're going to compete in a number one contenders Fatal 4-Way. Roman Reigns don't care. Roman Reigns there is just to wreck everything. And you saw his brand new shirt, obviously. You know, he's a bad guy, but he'll be definitely pushing that merch. And thing is, I just don't want it to be cool, though. I mean, it's going to be eventually cool because Roman Reigns is, let's be honest, he's going to come off as a cool bad guy. So I don't know if WWE really cares about that because they really want to be popular so they can sell that merch because, you know, the baby faces sell the merch and the heels kind of don't. But WWE is going to look to capitalize this cash-wise with Roman Reigns. So, but for now, trendsetter, man, I really can't find anything wrong with this trendsetter.
Yeah, and to me, my concerns aren't necessarily with that, Jeff, that you mentioned in terms of him not looking at to be cool. You don't want that because you want him to have that heat. You want people to not like him and not root against him. But again, it's a mere opposite for the fact that he's selling merchandise. I'm sure shirts are selling off out of stock right now in terms of trying to get them off WWEshop.com. But the thing is, this is similar in the feeling that I have now towards Roman Reigns and looking at what he's doing early on. We have yet to see, and I'm looking forward now to seeing what he has in store for, is it Clash or Night of Champions?
Clash of Champions.
I keep thinking Night of Champions, old WCW reference there, I guess. I'm sorry. I'm old.
So at Clash of Champions. You know what, though? It could be Night, you know, it's...
I think it's the Clash. I think Clash, you're right. It is the Clash of Champions. But I keep thinking Night of Champions and WCW because that's what they did. Mm-hmm. But this one was similar to when he first came to the main roster, Roman Reigns with the Shield. He was this bad dude that could really wreck you, hence the shirt. But he was kind of cool in the way he did it, in the manner in which he did. Still, you hated him. You wanted him to lose. But still, you're kind of like, man, and as much as I hate this guy, he's kind of a badass. Kind of like that, you know, type of mentality. So I think he's really just now, finally.
Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions. He's September 27th. Really revisiting what he once was when he came into the WWE with the Shield.
And then, trendsetter, we get that inkling of what's going to happen. Kind of some foreshadowing because Jey Uso is looking for Roman Reigns to congratulate him about his victory winning the Universal Heavyweight Championship. As Roman Reigns really specified, the Universal Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. And Jey Uso tried reaching out to him, and he was nowhere to be found. So now you're big. Now Roman Reigns is big time in his cousins, right?
Yeah.
You're seeing that forming. And basically, you know, this is Jey Uso. Jimmy is, of course, has the knee injury, I believe. So Jey Uso has been looking for Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns has just been busy, and he's got to go. I mean, this is perfect foreshadowing to what's going to happen. And I think going the family route is a good way to just enhance Roman Reigns' heel turn.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think it's going to work out tremendously. I'm sure people will be like, well, what's the point of this? I want to see The Fiend. I want to see Braun Strowman again. But involving the family makes it more personal. I mean, also showcase another side of Roman, which you haven't seen initially when he first came to the main roster as part of the Shield, as a quote-unquote bad guy, was you know, how demented can he go in terms of, you know, it's all fine and dandy when you want to win a championship and you go through everybody, but are you willing to go through family? Are you willing to go through the people who are dearest to you to maintain what you have? And I think that's what we're going to see theoretically in the sense of if that does happen, that does occur, which we talked about in terms of that main event match. If that's the case, man, it's going to make Roman Reigns even more, give him more heat. It's going to make him more heartless, more cold than he's ever been before.
So here we kind of like to maybe either go per match or go by most important thing. To me, Roman Reigns, the evolution of his character is to me number one, but 1A has got to be trendsetter. That we talked about this for months. We talked about it for years, for centuries, for decades. Goodness, when was it going to happen? When were you going to see the dissension between Bayley and Sasha Banks? We had to wait no more, Trentser. It happened on SmackDown. And yep. Did Bayley put a beat down on Sasha Banks after their loss to Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax trying to get those titles back? And I think just Bayley just had enough of the losing, and Sasha had been not... If Bayley were to come out and say why she did what she did, Bayley could say that Sasha was dropping the ball the last couple of weeks. But man, for Bayley to basically pulverize Sasha Banks the way that she did, man, this was probably brewing a lot. And you gotta say that Bayley probably did it before Sasha, you know, lost her patience with Bayley, and it was the other way around. But what a beatdown by Sasha Banks! Really well done. I just wonder the timing of it. We're seeing it now. And we are what? We're in August. So Night of Clash of Champions. Could we see Sasha Banks and Bayley? Is it an ideal situation? You never can have an ideal situation with this COVID, man. I mean, you really have to, you want to push it for WrestleMania. You want to push it for maybe Royal Rumble to start the WrestleMania season, or maybe even Survivor Series, the way you think, Trentser, that kicks off the WrestleMania season. But man, I mean... we were thinking it's going to be a slow build. Oh, they're going into WrestleMania. Oh, they don't have to do it now. They were, like, kicking butt as a team. And then you watch tonight, and it finally happened. Mm-hmm. It finally happened. Bayley had enough of Sasha. And, man, what a beatdown that was.
A lot to dive into there, Jeff. And then what I'll dive into from what you just said, which was a mouthful, and you kind of hit a lot of good points there, so it's really nothing for me to add. But the thing is, you said... you know, it finally happened. In my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of members of the crew would agree with me, and yeah, this isn't bitter grapes, this isn't me being bitter about anything. No, I'm just kind of stating fact of what is. I'm sure a lot of people listening to the crew on this show would say, this happened 2 years too late. Or in the sense, my personal preference is, I've kind of lost interest in this. You know why? Not because it happened, because we knew that's what they were setting up for. We talked about this 2-3 years ago. A lot of people were thinking, oh, Sasha's going to turn her back on Bayley now. Huh, funny, it's the other way around, right? Bayley got the best of Sasha this time around. But what really starts to annoy me, and we know that the WWE is listening to this, because of course they're listening to us on the High Spot Podcast, because every single time we've mentioned something that would be kind of a good idea, they've done the complete opposite of it, because it wasn't too long ago, Jeff, we were like, wow, you know, you had mentioned it, right? Man, maybe you could save this till, you know, WrestleMania season or WrestleMania. Granted, you know, you can never time things out in the current situation they're
can't
in right
anymore,
now.
Man.
You can't anymore. Can't really. It's impossible, but it's wishful thinking. It would make sense. It would be awesome for a match at WrestleMania. But how do you do that? You're making Sasha and Bayley the most dominant force in women's wrestling right now, which they were doing. The problem is, in my honest opinion, was that they were doing it too quickly and too fast. The mere fact that they had gained dominance, that, you know, Bayley is the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion, and then eventually became the tag team champions, and then, you know, Sasha had to become 2-belt as well. I felt that as much momentum as they were gaining together, which was great, and I was thinking they're entertaining, they're obnoxious, that's what they do best. It's working. They're on all three shows, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. But I think it was going too fast, and it was happening too fast. And the mere fact that now we reach this boiling point. So instead of extending this as long as you possibly can, like, for example, a Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, where they kept teasing every single time there could be ripples within the friendship, which they were doing with this one,
well,
it finally happened, and then this is the scenario we get. There's no other choice. There was no other choice for them to do but this. But the mere fact that, man, you had gold in them as a pair, now you're going to separate them.
Well, you could say they've been teasing it for years, right?
Yeah.
So now they finally decided to do it. And I'm going to tell you, though, it's going to be interesting to see the next couple of weeks when you don't see those that obnoxious couple in Bayley and Sasha Banks together, see how WWE tries to compensate, because now you're going to need to bring more women involved here because this no doubt leads to a Sasha and Bayley feud down the road. But you're putting your two major stars now in this rivalry. You're going to need to kind of revamp that. And we kind of saw this promo of this female, you know, in heels walking around. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, you're pulling all
that your wasn't cards. Alexa Bliss?
No, I don't think. You're pulling all your cards to the table here in this matchup. And we want to see it, no doubt. We want to see where it goes. But now, in the next couple of weeks, man, you don't have that. You know you're guaranteed. We got this Sasha Bayley segment, right? Mm-hmm. Now you won't have it anymore because obviously she's going to sell the injury and Bayley's going to have to be on her own and really probably push this rivalry. So they're going to feel it for a couple weeks.
They're going to feel it for a couple weeks. And to me, the thing would be, you know, not to have Sasha on TV for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Keep her off for a week or two, even three, maybe, who knows, the month. I know people who are Sasha Banks fans say that's a little too far stretch, but that would just sell the beating even more at the hands of Bayley. But here's where I'm kind of causing myself a little head scratch in my mind, Jeff. It's that, you know, prior to it, we were seeing when Bayley was the babyface, and this happened, I believe, at Hell in a Cell. Elimination Chamber, a couple years ago.
Yeah, when they
where,
won the,
you know,
the titles were on the line.
Titles
right?
on the line, so now Sasha's beating up Bayley, and Bayley can't cause harm on anybody. Now what she did in SmackDown, she's completely over that now. Not an issue for her, not a problem. But can we really see Sasha now turn that way and not become a face? You know,
I don't like her as a face.
Yeah, we've talked
do?
About this several times, right? With certain individuals, they just fit well in certain positions. And Sasha, to me, has never been that type of personality. You know, she's made it perfectly known, too, that she doesn't like – she's not a people person. She likes her privacy. So what better ways than to be a heel? So it's going to be interesting to see, will the fans turn over on her side? I'm sure they will a certain extent, but it won't have the same feeling as if, you know, after everything she said and she came back after a long period of time, was she with the audience? Now she's against it. Now they're kind of flip-flopping her back and forth. So in this case, it's like, well, guys, you have no choice now. She got beat up. You have no choice but to cheer her now. I don't know if the audience will be that committed to want to do that right off the bat.
As far as Nia and Shayna Baszler go, which they retain the tag team titles, to me, they're dominant. They're going to be champions for a long time because you really haven't really – you've broken up Peyton Royce and –
Billy Kay,
right? The Iconics. You split them up. You've got the next contenders now being Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott. We'll leave that to the Raw side and how that happens as well. So, but they're
I don't want to leave Liv Morgan down there. I want her.
Well,
to
I mean,
side.
Yeah. Listen, but you know, let that be Raw's problem because we got the tag team titles now will be mostly fought on Raw for the time being, and I see them being dominating.
Yeah, no, I agree, dominating, but this is the same thing we talked about when we speak about AEW in terms of their women's roster. There's depth. The WWE has a lot of depth, but they don't have anything to do with them because nobody has their individual storylines. It's either for the title or not, and there are not that many well-established tag teams. You had mentioned the Iconics that split up now. There are not that many tag teams to work with Shayna and Nia Jax, so, you know, if you like this tag team, great. If you don't, and getting used to it because, like Jeff said, they're going to be champions for a while.
Big E gets his opportunity. So last week we were talking about it was going to be a slow build. I kind of brought it up saying how, like, you're not going to get that instant gratification of Big E winning that championship right away. But they put him in this Fatal 4-Way. And then the rumor going around backstage is that Xavier Woods is there. And supposedly Big E goes to greet him. But it's basically Sheamus who attacks him in the parking lot and puts him through glass and... you know, and basically, Big E's taken to a local medical facility, and that's that. The Big E's opportunity is gone. So it's going to set up a feud with Sheamus for the time being, and it's going to continue to be a slow build because you really want to make sure that if Big E's going to be in a big fight with, like, a Roman Reigns down the road, he's going to have a little bit more seasoning with Sheamus and maybe another one before we see that event. I probably would see that maybe built up for Royal Rumble, most likely a Roman Reigns and Big E. And if you think Roman Reigns is losing that title anytime soon, I've got a bridge to sell you. So, I mean, right? I mean, don't you see this being a lengthy title reign for Roman Reigns? And maybe Big E probably seeing a opportunity at that title somewhere down the Royal Rumble?
Well, also, let's also state the obvious here that we've been talking about, that everybody's been talking about as well, that their big main gun that WWE has, Brock Lesnar, is no longer part of the WWE. He's a free agent. He's not associated with them anymore. So, with that, now with the situation that the WWE's positioned Roman in, you're right. It would make absolutely no sense. But again, you know, you gave The Fiend the championship and then took it off him for Bill Goldberg. Okay. Now you have a situation, put the title back on The Fiend, immediately took it off him, and now have Roman in that position. This is completely written, storybook-wise, whatever you want to say, written for Roman Reigns to have a lengthy title reign. To have that ability now not only to be a dominant champion, but to be a dominant heel champion, and then hopefully he helps progress a lot of the other ones that haven't developed. Because when we look at SmackDown, we look on Raw as well, there are a lot of heels, a lot of bad guys, a lot of antagonists, right? You want the protagonist to be there to help out, and you haven't really developed that yet. So interesting there. I don't foresee it. If they decide to take the belt off of Roman Reigns, then the question comes, then what was the point of all that?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a while before Roman, you know, loses that title. And I could see this. I'm telling you now, if it's Vince, and you don't know, Vince can be unpredictable, right? It depends on what mood he's in or what side of the bed he wakes up, right? Or if he even sleeps at all. That you could see possibly Big E and Roman Reigns possibly be one of the main events for WrestleMania. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it too. But again, I try not to do that now because what we just spoke about before.
Things change on the fly.
We are in a more unpredictable time in this day and age than we've ever been before. So although it's cool to think that right now, I'm going to save it till we actually start getting there and the leaves start falling, the weather starts getting cold over here. Oh, stop it. Don't make me think about it.
So would you be interested in a Sheamus versus Big E feud? Because basically beat him down, threw him in a garage door, and then threw a car windshield. So a classic WWE. Is that something that you look forward to? Do you think Sheamus could be somebody that Sheamus, I don't know if I said Sheamus right. Do you think Sheamus could be somebody that could propel Big E to that main event title picture with a feud properly done, by the way, hopefully, if they do decide to go that way, which seems like that's going to happen, right? I think that it could be good. It's two powerhouses, man. It's two big dudes. So is that something that when Big E returns from injury, do you think that he will he'll be looking for Sheamus. Do you think that works?
Yes, and here's the why. I mean, in terms of in-ring chemistry, granted, we haven't seen Sheamus and Big E in singles competition in a while with each other, but we've seen them when Sheamus was tag team partners with Cesaro. They were, you know, they were the, what was their name? It's slipping my mind. They were
Sheamus and Cesaro.
What were they? They were the, I was going to say the crew, but that's our fans listening to the show right now.
Keep talking.
The Bar. They're the Bar.
The Bar.
They were the Bar against the New Day, and so they've had many times in the ring, so they know each other really well. So I think
that's a good point.
In terms
of in-ring
chemistry, I think they'll be fine. Like you said, two powerhouses, but again, very athletic.
Two behemoths.
When you look at Sheamus's track record in terms of what he's done, he's accomplished quite a bit. Most people might forget it because he has been off TV for a while due to injuries and things of that nature, where you know he was dealing with, I think, spinal stenosis was a rumor, and then you know maybe his in-ring. When the Bar split up, his in-ring career might have been in jeopardy. Now he's back, obviously, back and looking better than ever physically and looks better in the ring as well. So, no, yeah, I think it will definitely help out Big E. I just hope, you know, they won't go the same route where they went in and kind of tried to force feed this whole Jeff Hardy situation, to have us feel sorry for Jeff, to make us feel, you know, the scenario of him overcoming his demons. You know, I think they're playing the card quite a bit, which I understand why, because most general people probably wouldn't think of Big E as somebody who could compete in the singles cat and the singles division, although he has been a former Intercontinental champion, and people say, I know, that was a long time ago, Brian, let it go, but it is there. I'm not going to ignore it. It did happen. So in this scenario, Sheamus being a former WWE champion, won the belt several times, it gives validity behind Big E. And again, I think both of them will work really well. I just hope they don't keep poking and keep mentioning, well, you haven't won the big one, Big E. You really haven't faced competition.
Yeah, it looks like they're going with it. Because yeah, it looks like they're mocking him with it as far as like, oh, you know, like he, you know, it just seems like that's what they're doing. So we'll see what happens. But Sheamus really mocking Big E after doing what he did to him, taking him to a local medical facility, as Kyle Braxton reported there. So the Intercontinental title picture seems to be a three-man race here, trendsetter, because Sami Zayn doesn't believe that he lost that title is upset that they're calling, they're not even naming him the Intercontinental title when he comes out to do his in-ring promo. Jeff Hardy's down there saying, hey, if you just wanted a title shot, you should might as well ask. And Sami Zayn is like, well, why do I have to fight for something that I have? It's great dialogue back and forth. And then AJ Styles, our Intercontinental champion, comes out. And then he just says he's the uncrowned champion, which, let's be honest, is true. And hopefully he dumped Joe Park and stopped the analytics game, and he's back to being that ferocious pit bull that we love in AJ Styles. And you know what? This is just leading to me, in my eyes, a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title.
Not just any triple threat match, a ladder match.
Yeah, yeah.
Why couldn't it be a ladder match? I think that's the only fair thing, because I remember before I told you this during the High Spot podcast and obviously during the SmackDown review, I said, when was the last time that I could remember, legitimately, there were two Intercontinental Championships, Razor and Shawn, and that led to ladder match. Mm-hmm. This is money. You have three guys like AJ, Sammy, and Jeff Hardy.
The other guy who is
the true Intercontinental Champion. That'd be great. I mean, triple threat matches are cool and all, but we have three going up on a ladder. I honestly don't think there have been three pitted up against each other in a ladder at all. I think that we had Money in the Bank. We've had Money in the Bank. We've had Table Dodgers and Chairs.
Yeah.
But Hey,
sold.
But never something like this. So that would definitely be unique, and both could obviously pull it off. But Sammy does need a haircut first. He needs a haircut.
Do you remember, and this is dating myself, but do you remember when in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Pee-wee gets his bike back from the Hollywood studio, and he's in town, and then he sees the pet shop's on fire, a local pet shop, whatever, and he goes in there, and Pee-wee being the
one big second, Jeff. Guys, IMDb this, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Okay.
Yeah. It's top five all time. So he goes, saves the puppies, the dog, the cats, the monkeys, fish. Whatever, fish, everything like that. And he always passes by the snakes because he doesn't want to touch it. He doesn't want to do anything with it. And he even does ugh. But at the end, he comes out, and he has the snakes, and he finally passes out. And then, faints, and there's still a few more fish. But whatever, he basically saved the pet store, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. This is how I feel. This is how I feel with the whole Miz Morrison Heavy Machinery feud here. Because I know I have to talk about it. And I don't. And I'm talking about everything else that I can here because it's valid and it's more important than what I'm about to talk about. And I feel like Pee-wee holding the snakes and passing out because I got to talk about this hot garbage. And what I'm talking about, Trendsetter, is the absolute buffoonery of the creative team to make The Miz and Morrison seem like a couple of, like Bill and Ted or something like that, or just these idiots. And they're much more than that. You're talking about a guy who headlined WrestleMania. And you're talking about another guy who was a huge free agent who, well, maybe his fault is becoming the Impact Champion. I don't know, but this is a legitimate guy in John Morrison who should be doing way more than this, than stealing a lunchbox, thinking that it's the Money in the Bank contract, and then trying to eat the sandwich where he finds the briefcase because Otis outsmarted both of them. Does this frustrate you to the levels that it does me? Because you seem very calm about this. You seem like this is a disgrace. This is an absolute travesty. And you know what the funny thing is? I fell asleep to JR, his podcast, Grillin' JR, where they talked about the hardcore title. And this is kind of what's the 24/7 championship. I'm going on a tangent here because I'm going everywhere.
Yeah.
Because they said once five or six guys win it in one night, it kind of loses validity. Once you try to go comedy, it really becomes dumb. And this is, without a doubt, absolutely dumb. It's like we're doing something here with The Miz and Morrison. It could be so much more. This is an out-and-out travesty, Trendsetter, of what is happening to The Miz and Morrison. I mean, watch the damn show today and tell me they're doing so many things good, but this is without a doubt a joke. And if Morrison and The Miz are happy about this, fine. And I care too much, right? What's the thing? We care too much. We care more about it than these guys do. They're probably in on it. They're probably adding their creativity, whatever like that. But this is an out-and-out joke, and this is something that I don't like.
Well, I mean, nothing more can add to that. I mean, you're saying I'm being calm. Well, I'm being calm in scenario. What's the point of me losing my lid? I mean, you've already done it yourself on a scenario like this. I remember seeing the segment with you, too. The whole scenario that he switched it. The briefcase did not have the contract. He put it in his lunchbox. I'm watching Warner Brothers. Like, and then we have the lunch, all of Otis's lunch in the briefcase. And Morrison trying to eat the sandwich and missing. Don't do that. I mean, it just, it's sad. And to me, that's the more thing. Like, I can get mad. I've been mad before about it. And I just shake my head because the biggest thing and the biggest frustration is you guys who listen to this, the members of the crew who we value your opinion because you listen to us and you're fans as well. We're fans as well. What frustrates me to the point is that if we're playing fantasy booking, we know fantasy sports is a huge thing. Let's say we're fantasy professional wrestling here. We have a promotion, right? My goodness, the talent of a guy like John Morrison, and also The Miz too, but again, I'm excluding Morrison specifically because, as Jeff mentioned before, he was one of the hottest free agents out there, and the WWE signed him. So what do? They basically bring him back, and they bring him in the same scenario he was when he left. So what makes me scratch my head and basically want to bang my head on the wall, figuratively, not literally, is basically the fact that you have this much talent on this roster. Jeff, whether they're talking AEW, or we're talking New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, all of them combined, as much as we love New Japan, right, and AEW and what they're doing, you can combine all their rosters together. It's not even a quarter, a one-tenth of the talent that WWE has on their roster, and it just shocks and amazes me that this is what they do with it. You basically have this talent, you have this quality, and you don't do anything with it. So that's probably the most frustrating part about it. You know, Miz and Morrison might be having their chuckles, enjoying their little giggles and the sophomoric humor and enjoying catering, but it just frustrates me because not only just is John Morrison, but this is a perfect example, Jeff, that we've talked about countless times on the High Spot podcast. How can you have this much talent coming in from NXT you've signed to go through the NXT system for some weird reason to build up that brand, which you don't use to the full extent, to put them on the main roster, and then you basically give them some momentum, and then if you're Vince McMahon or whoever is creative, you shoot them back down to the bottom again. I don't get that. Why would you do that? That's if Jeff, that's if I have the first round draft pick, right? And I get the number one wide receiver out there and I bench him week number one. Why? Why would I do that? Oh, because I like this guy. He's a better matchup. You have the number one wide receiver and the number one quarterback. Why wouldn't you start them? Just because what, their matchups don't look good? And so I'm going to put the guy who's like a third string or a fourth string player just because he's playing against the worst defense? It's no logic behind, and that's what frustrates me.
Yeah, definitely it's frustrating. And that's, we're going to ribbon on that one because it's not even worth our frustrations, Trendsetter. We get Firefly Funhouse, which is the beaten to death now. We get it every week, it seems, and teasing a new member. Someone will debut next week. Will it be Alexa Bliss? And then we see Alexa Bliss asking Nikki Cross for forgiveness. You had a little theory that if you want to share here, and you can talk about this before we do into that, we got to have a little moment of bliss here as we appreciate the lovely, and I love those pigtails. I love it. Huge fan. But let's take a moment now here on the unofficial WWE podcast, the HSP SmackDown Review with Jeff Martin, the Trendsetter. Let's take our time to appreciate the one and only Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. That was all right. Oof. Yeah, my theory was this, though. Although there, you know, we had a segment prior to that where Bray Wyatt was doing his Firefly Funhouse. If I could say that three times fast, I would fail miserably. Please don't. I'm not going to.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. I'm not stupid. You would think that he has a special guest coming on the show next week, possibly. And now we've had the scenario where Alexa Bliss has had this experience with The Fiend several times in the ring. And now it seems like she is now drawn towards The Fiend for whatever reason that might be. Her hair's being braided and all these little signs showcasing that she's leaning more towards the dark side, or whatever you want to call it. And Nikki Cross, who I called her hypocrite because she's the one who left her best friend in hypocrite. There. She is. Well, it is. Call it what it is.
Hypocrisy.
Where like there's that. Smoke, there's fire, Jeff, right? Yep. In this case, hypocrisy, thy name be Nikki Cross. And, you know, you leave your best friend out there. You're so obsessed with the title. You forget about her. She goes through experience, and now you're concerned. But what's becoming, at least in my mind, thinking how nice of a swerve this would be. Because prior to Nikki Cross being so cute and nice and a comedic act in a certain way with Alexa Bliss, she was part of, you know, a stable where, you know, Insanity, where she was insane. She was screaming and yelling, never could put two sentences together, and we love that about her because she was unpredictable. What fits better, an Alexa Bliss with The Fiend or a Nikki Cross with The Fiend?
Yeah.
That's what I threw out there. I was like, that'd be pretty fun, you know, considering we're thinking Alexa's going to go there, but now Nikki goes there because she's more familiar with that type of mentality than Alexa Bliss is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting next week to see what happens. We saw the little bunny rabbit there that always appears on the Firefly Funhouse, kind of like in between Alexa and Nikki. So that kind of throws you off thinking, you know, who is it going to be? But definitely Nikki Cross looks like the one, like she's a little freaked out about Alexa Bliss's turn here. So we will wait and see till next week. And then basically you're looking around. Adam Pearce now, who's become a character on SmackDown, he's looking around to fill the spot left by Big E. And then Paul Heyman takes him to the side and says, okay, let me get a chance to talk to you. And I guess they pulled some strings. Jey Uso is very appreciative that Roman Reigns was able to basically talk them into putting Jey Uso in this match. It was kind of a little surprising that Jey Uso was going to be in the match because you see Corbin, you see Riddle and Sheamus, and then Jey Uso just really, you know, just out of the blue. But we get it. We know what's going on here. And then Jey Uso pulls off the upset beating, pinning Matt Riddle. So my only issue is, man, like, really? You're pinning Matt Riddle. I guess they were thinking Baron Corbin can't take another loss. Sheamus has been losing a lot. So, hey, here's a perfect example where they messed themselves up here, and let's pin Matt freaking Riddle, who basically has been
hurts him.
Who's been pushing him, and Jey Uso comes out of the blue and then gets the pin over Matt Riddle.
I don't think it hurts him, though. It's a fatal four-way. You know, he was in a predicament that he couldn't get out of, and that's what happened. So
okay.
I don't think it hurts Matt Riddle's momentum.
But Jey Uso now is the number one contender, and on September 27th, it's going to be Clash of Champions, Jey Uso challenging his cousin, Roman Reigns, for the Universal Heavyweight Championship. We know what this is, trendsetter. This is just building that heat on Roman Reigns. He might even beat him down next week. We saw that it's not Roman Reigns' yard anymore. It's his island. And now Jey Uso is basically said that Roman Reigns is going to enter the Uso Penitentiary. So now Jey Uso is basically fighting for family pride, and Roman Reigns is going to make this personal, and he's going to do what we all know he's going to do. He's going to turn his back on fam. 100, believe that. He's going to turn his back on family, and he's going to annihilate Jey Uso. I like it. It's interesting. I'm glad for Jey Uso. Let's give him, you know, while Jey Uso is away, let's put him up in the main spot here. But this is definitely going to be a beatdown annihilation and has Roman Reigns written all over it.
It does. You said, oh, it's going to get personal. It already is personal, no. Jeff. Family's involved, like you said, and the ability of now, you know, a classic line I like to use from the W Hall of Famer and no longer with us, Ultimate Warrior, where he was talking to Ted DiBiase for Saturday Night's Main Event. What is the World Wrestling Federation title really worth to you? What is the Universal Heavyweight title really worth to you now, Roman Reigns? Are you willing to take down family for that? And we'll get our answer at Clash. I mean, it's going to happen.
Oh, we know
it's
the going answer.
To happen. We know what the answer is, obviously, yeah. Too. But it's going to show, like I said, another side of Roman that we have not seen. When he first started off, he was this cool, bad guy, badass type of mentality. Cool. But now it's going to be more of not just that same type of effort and the same type of mentality, but it's going to be added on the cold heartlessness. He has no heart anymore. He's this caring guy that loved everybody and was always to do the right thing. Now it's all about him. That's the only thing that matters. Family doesn't exist. His only family is his counsel, Paul Heyman, and that WWE Universal Heavyweight title. That's it.
Yep. And you've been listening to the HSP SmackDown review here. Great to be with you every end of the week to talk about Friday Night SmackDown. And you can find us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast, on Bodyslam.net, on the Shining Wizards Network. And again, follow us on all our social media, man. You know, Twitter, Instagram, go to HighSpotPodcast.com. Everywhere you can find what we're up to, the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Again, talk to us, man. Communicate via Twitter, via Instagram, whatever. Give us your thoughts. Did you like SmackDown? Do you like where Roman Reigns is going? We get good feedback a lot by our fans. We want to hear more from you guys and let us know. And before we wrap up, Trendsetter, I guess I can, I just want to talk to you because it's current. So AOP gets released. And just my brief thoughts on that is, listen, they were too injury prone. And there's just no direction. I'm going to tell you this right now. And there's been a lot of bad factions or stables. That Seth Rollins stable has got to be, without a doubt, one of the worst stables of all freaking time. It's got to be the most... It's probably the stupidest angle. It's probably the worst... I mean, listen, Seth Rollins is trying to make chicken salad with chicken you-know-what. And it just never worked. And it's unfortunate, and I think the AOP is a team that definitely, when whichever one has the broken triceps or the biceps, I think somebody in AEW should come a call them, because I think they have a lot of potential, and that would be a great addition to that tag team division in AEW. But that's just my thought. Too injury prone. Yeah. Seth Rollins, without it, has probably the worst faction in the last 20 years. It was putrid. And ridiculous.
Separate from the Shield, obviously.
He
was part of that faction.
I'm talking faction. This disgrace of a program that he's doing here. His
disciples, basically.
Yeah, his disciples. What a joke. But just your thoughts on AOP being released.
Really clean and simple here. Just a waste of talent, basically, mm-hmm. on both ends. In terms of the direction that they were given. I couldn't remember the last time I saw a team. Well, no, I stand corrected. There were a lot of teams that came out of NXT that had a lot of momentum going for them, and you were like, wow, the WWE is now going to have a really good, strong tag team division.
What was the name of the group? Victor and Connor?
The Ascension. The Ascension.
This is basically, sad when the Ascension had a better career than the AOP did.
They did, and they had long-lasting career because they were able to stay healthy and not have to deal with unfortunate injuries. And then with them, they have a lot of untapped potential. But here's the thing. You're saying they should sign with AEW, and AEW should give them a look. I don't know right now, because you know what? They have a lot to prove. They have one thing to prove is, can they both remain together healthy, and can they continually put out good quality out there? I'm not talking about scientific 5-star matches, but can you work with other teams? And I think right now, not necessarily as a trip. If they want to stay together, that's the question.
You know what I would do?
I don't think of maybe a Ring of Honor, maybe an Impact, or even maybe a New Japan Pro Wrestling be a better fit.
What I would do is pair them up with MJF, make them stable with MJF, Wardlow and the AOP with MJF. That is one freaking great faction right there.
True. I mean, again, like I said, I could see them with going one-on-one with the Briscoes. Those would be tough fights right there in Ring of Honor. Impact, you already got the Good Brothers there. They've been done that before. I don't think they've really worked with them. That could be a scenario. You could also look at, for example, New Japan. Part of the members of the Bullet Club there, the little tag team, Tungaloa and Tama Tonga.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fight right there in terms of the heavyweight titles and tag team championships.
You heard it right here, though. That's my feeling. I think that they would be great in a faction with MJF, because what does the ultimate heel need? More big guys around him. So, hey, Trendsetter, another great show, man. Guys, we appreciate you when we're in the wee hours of the night here giving you this show. So I hope you enjoy it. Again, we are at High Spot Podcast. Follow us on all social media there, the unofficial WWE podcast. And that's it for me, Trendsetter.
That's it for him. He is the scoundrel, Jeff Martin.
I want to see more Fred Rogers.
The Trendsetter, Brian Berger. We are, if you've forgotten, we're reminding you, we are the Jersey Dragon Crew. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the HSP SmackDown Review. We appreciate you guys, and you guys mean a lot to us. Hope you enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Yes,
enjoy
Labor Day.
Be safe, and remember, whether you're enjoying it on the beach, barbecue, popping up a bottle in the pool, whatever. Remember, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you,
the crew.
Wash your hands.
Happy Labor Day. Won't you be my neighbor too? Yep.